Hey, greetings, saints and seekers. You better repent and follow Christ if you're a seeker.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amon here.
Sister Amon here?
Uh-huh.
Where are we sitting?
In our van home, in our parking lot.
Wait, we're... No. Well, kind of. We're in a Don't Perish radio studio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the driver's seat. You're in the passenger seat. Kind of like a radio studio.
Mm-hmm.
Recording studio. We have to rejoice about the day. It was a blessed day, wasn't it?
Amen. Every day is a blessed day.
It was. Speaking of that, you're going to talk about that a little bit. We got some things done, and then we traveled and met with some brothers. But before we traveled, we were in a marketplace, and I was able to offer help to a neighbor. And I was sharing with the brothers. I gave this man the gospel card, and this man was, like, really appreciative that someone actually tried to help him. I saw people driving by. Nobody helped him. I stopped to help him, and he was really appreciative. So I was sharing. It was kind of like a Good Samaritan situation where nobody wanted to help, but I wanted to help him. It's a good thing for us to remember to help people in need if we get a chance to.
Amen.
It's easy to drive by, walk by, not make contact, not get involved, but I think it's a good open door to do that.
Right, because like before Christ, when you're just walking in your flesh, sisters, just going in the store, getting your things done.
Yeah.
But after Christ, you start seeing the world a whole lot different. You see it through the eyes of Christ, or at least we need to train ourselves to do that.
Yep.
Because it's easy to just look past people. But now that you have the precious gospel to share that changes lives, now you see the people, or you should be looking for them and looking for the opportunities.
When we're in the world, we're pretty self-centered, but now we're in Christ, we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor. So
always,
I tell brothers and sisters all the time when they're out in the world, look for people in need, look for people who need help. Yep. You do that all the time, like looking to return somebody's cart for them, just simple stuff like that.
Oh,
helping
get
little old ladies, helping them get some off the top shelf.
Yeah.
Just looking to help a neighbor. So being a good Samaritan, it's a good thing.
Amen.
What's up with you, Sister Amon? Do you have some thoughts today that you'd like to share with the brethren?
I do. Well, one thing
from our radio studio.
I was thinking about what the brothers were talking about, listing blessings.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I just thought it was a good idea. I think the list could be a mile or two.
Why is it a good idea?
Well, if you maybe fall into a bad habit of grumbling or looking at something you don't want, or that something that you don't have that you want, being ungrateful, not thankful for your life that you have, if you start listing the blessings you have, which we know the most important ones would be Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really even need to list another one after that.
Yeah.
After him, but the flesh sometimes needs some prompting and reminding to put a list of blessings in front of you, maybe when you get weak or tired or things go really, really wrong in your life that you're having a hard time coping with. I think having a list of blessings would kind of, you know what it would do? It kind of slap you in the face and tell you to get out of your pity party.
And what else? It's the will of God. I read a scripture. Brother did a teaching on thankfulness, and I read a scripture where it said it's the will of God that we be thankful in all things. It's God's will.
Well, yeah, and in his teaching he was saying it's like it pretty much almost borders on sin to not be thankful.
Yeah.
You know, and blessings are definitely something to be thankful for.
So the brothers were going to list them, and they like putting them up where they read them every day. So I thought that was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else, Sister Amon?
Well, we had that email from that young man that we met down at one of the...
Yeah, at one of our preaches, a 15-year-old.
Yeah, and I thought maybe it'd be good if you wanted to, like, share with people, like, what kind of guidelines you would use if you're, like, if you're in ministry and you get an email from somebody. Obviously, you want to find out male, female, age, you know, and so you can assess the situation. And if it happens to be like, sometimes we've gotten this, you know, under the age of 16 or so.
Yeah,
you know,
young teenagers.
You got to deal with that carefully. What would you say to help people out?
Well, there's a couple scenarios. Like if you're out in the street witnessing and real small children walk up to you, I think you got to be careful because now it's in person. It's like, where's the parents? But our rule of thumb for that is like if they're like teenagers, 12, 13, 14, and they're at an event by themselves and we go, where's your parents? Oh, they dropped us off. We're like, oh, okay. If they came walking up to us, oh, we give them the gospel and we share with them. Now, if they're 9 or 10, we're real careful. They're not there alone. Their parents are somewhere. So in that kind of mindset, we kind of are real cautious. When it comes to email, I think you got to be real careful because you don't know the truth. They could be lying. They could be 12 and they're telling you they're 15. I think the real good thing to do is to share the gospel with them. Anybody can get the gospel. And then ask about parents, ask about guardians, ask about what do they think about you, email me. And then, like in this case, the young man said, my mom will talk to you. She doesn't mind you emailing me, emailing you. So if it keeps going, we would get her on the phone and talk to her, maybe even meet in person if it's possible. So you got to use wisdom when it comes to young people, because it can be a point where people will try to blame you, saying that you're trying to influence their children behind their back, even though you didn't reach out to them, all of that. So you got to use great wisdom.
Yeah, and also depending on how the emails go back and forth. Right. If there's somebody learning and willing to listen and understand, that's one thing. But if they keep pushing and pushing and pushing back, debating with a young person isn't...
Yeah, wise. Emailing with a young person is not optimum. Again, if you're going to do it, get the permission from the parents, and then, of course, we'll help them. So you do have to be real, real careful there. And in person, like I said, I'd use the guidelines. If they're there and the parents know they're there, give them a gospel card and say, have your parents contact me.
Yeah.
But you got to be real careful making contact with small children. We got to give a Bible to a young man this past weekend. It was awesome. He's only 12, but his grandpa was right there.
Oh, yeah.
So his grandpa gave us permission to talk to him and do all that. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to use wisdom in all that.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. I was thinking about this topic. Work while it's day. John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no man can work. So the context of that is kind of Christ is in the world. He's the light. So while he's here, it's light. He's working. When he leaves, then it's no longer, he's not here. The light is no longer here. That's the real context of that verse. But the brothers and I always talk about we should be laboring and working while it's day. What do we mean by that? We have freedom. We have time. We have life. We have resources. We have energy. We should be out laboring because there is going to come a time, perhaps, when some of us get thrown in jail, when maybe things get shut down, when evil rises up to the point where we can't do what we can do today. So we kind of equate it to work and labor and do ministry and preach the gospel while it's day, because evil, darkness, night's coming like tribulation when it's going to be harder to do what we do today.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with it because we only have today. We don't even know if we're going to get tomorrow,
right?
You know, in our own life, and who knows what's coming with all the darkness. So, yeah, Christ gave everything he had for us. How can we not do that every day for him?
Yeah, it's easy to delay rather than going and doing. The Bible says today's the day of salvation, so we want to bring that salvation to people today and not delay it for next week, next month, next year.
Right, and just do the best that you can within the situation you are. Be faithful in
it. Amen.
Yeah, sisters and I, we were just talking tonight just a little bit on Messenger about how it's an awesome thing to think that even just our basic things that we do for God brings him glory.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not rebellious, we're not sinful, we're not doing wicked works anymore, we're doing good.
And it brings him great pleasure to see his children walk in the truth.
Right, amen.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, so ponder that. Hopefully you're working where you are, how you best can while it's day. Because tribulation at night is definitely coming.
Mm-hmm.
I was also thinking about the concept of God giving us words to speak. Luke 21:12-19. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, and being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts. I like that. Settle it therefore in your hearts. Not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to naysay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by parents, brethren, kinsfolk, friends. Some of you shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. I love this verse. In your patience, possess ye your souls.
Yeah.
I like that. So we get a promise that we're going to be given the words just to say. We get a promise that we're going to be hated and betrayed. Yeah, we already see that sometimes in life. And I like that when it says, not a hair on your head will perish. That means he has us. He has our souls. If we're in him by the gospel, we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Our Father has it. He's already won the victory. We just got to press on and endure to the end.
Yeah, and he's going to give us the words to say. I get to use this verse again.
Go for it.
Exodus 4. I love this one. Exodus 4:12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt
say. That's what he said to Moses.
I love that.
Awesome. What else, Sister Amen?
Well, I have this.
On a rainy night here in a dark parking lot, what else you got for us?
We got more rainy nights.
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch of rainy days coming up. A lot of online working.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I have some tunics I have to fix yet.
Tunics?
So, yeah.
You mean long, untucked shirts?
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm so used to saying tunics, and then it's like, say it's a long shirt.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's
going to add me some pockets for tracks. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Amen. You'll do fine.
Waiting upon the Lord. I was in Luke, and I was reading about Anna, and I was just pondering this. Luke 2:37, and this is about Anna the prophetess, who was, well, you'll see. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And so I was thinking about that. She gave most of her life in the temple,
yeah,
fasting and praying for the Lord. Yeah. So think about that. Like,
that was her ministry.
What a quiet, simple life. And yeah, then...
reminds me of the priests that just showed up and did their service to God.
Yeah, right. And then here, I wanted to go back because I lost my other verse here. So she did that for how many years of her life? She was an old lady. 80 plus 4 years, 84. And it says before that she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So that would be a long time in the temple.
Yep.
Doing that. Not a big, exciting life, not running here and there and new experiences and all this other stuff. She was in there.
It was the temple of God, so that made a big difference. It's a temple. That was the special place where they worshiped God from, so that was pretty awesome.
Right, and then when Christ was born, she was able to tell everybody who was looking for the redemption. So yep. I guess I was just thinking about waiting upon the Lord. She would have had, that's what she did. She was waiting upon the Lord. And so here, I wanted to read Psalm 123:2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. So
amen.
Having a nice, quiet, simple life, serving the Lord. We're out here on the streets. Our life isn't quiet and it's busy. I'm just doing the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Just serving the Lord. If you were on a desert island all alone and you just served the Lord and prayed and lived your life for him, that would be a big glory.
Yeah, whatever circumstance you're in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the focus, so.
Yeah, so what we don't want to be is not content with the life that we have and living it and being faithful in it. There isn't always something bigger and better around the corner.
No.
Our life may stay the same till the day we die. And that's
what God wants us to do. Go read the book of Revelation. There's a lot of just worship and prayer and exaltation of God. And we don't see a lot of everything else going on there. So yeah, nothing new under the sun, as Solomon says.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
a content heart.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the service of the Lord.
Yep, and then waiting on him for when it's your time to be with him.
Yeah, we can all take a note from that. Whatever you're called to do, do it with all your heart right where you are and endure in it till the end.
And be thankful.
Yeah, we just talked about that.
Because we got many blessings,
right?
Yep, that
keeps coming up, yeah.
And it just kind of turns right around into that. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
Anything else, Sister Amen?
Well, I have my verse that I was
I saw a news blurb. They found some moon rocks from the Apollo mission when they came back, and they decided the moon is 4.6 billion years old, and they decided the moon was formed, they're not sure, but the moon was formed when another rock hit the Earth and a bunch of garbage flew up in space, and eventually it all spun around in a ball until it created the moon 4.6 billion years later. But you know our father said? Genesis 1:16, and God made the two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night light to rule the night. He made the stars also. I'm going with the scriptures.
I love that. It's so simple, black and white. Even children understand the first parts of Genesis.
Yeah.
God did it all.
Yeah, he created it all. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, read us your scripture.
Okay. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Oh, yeah.
Just a warning that we could let them slip, so let's make sure we take heed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a scripture verse that talks about your feet will, I think it's in Psalms, your feet will never slip. If you focus on the things of God, you walk in His light, hide your word in His heart, or hide His word in your heart, you won't slip.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. He'll guide us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Tonight we gathered with the saints, and I did a teaching on the feeble-minded. You'll find that in the Ecclesia gathering area, and Brother did a teaching on thankfulness. We were just talking about it. How did you like those teachings, Sister Amin?
They were awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. All the scripture verses that you and he went through and the thoughts that were shared about it.
Yeah, some good concepts on thankfulness and then also how to deal with people that struggle or are weak or feeble-minded, maybe not experienced, maybe struggle with things, how to deal with them in the body. So that's something that everybody has to know how to do for God's glory. So we covered that.
And everybody learns from that too.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why God, I believe, calls people into the bodies, because some of the people that have a lot of issues, and you think, oh, these people have issues, this is going to be so hard, they end up, and all the focus on it ends up teaching everybody something. Patience, right. Long-suffering, kindness, mercy.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we all need to keep doing that.
Yeah. And then my last thought for the night is, I was thinking about, a brother and I were talking about how no revival is coming, but a great falling away. Everybody's talking about a revival that's coming. Third great awakening, all these revivals. No, actually Satan's system is rising up. That's what the revival looks like in the false churchianity places. But there is a great falling away that is promised. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you soon not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I think it's talking about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So yeah, there's not going to be a revival. There's a falling away, and Antichrist and darkness is coming. So it's just good to know what God's word says and not listen to all these lies like pre-trib rapture. Jesus is not coming to get the saints early and then coming again at the end of the tribulation. We're going to have to endure the wrath of Satan and the world in the tribulation, and the Father is going to send Christ to come and get us at the end of it. But I just wanted to read that about no revival coming. Don't be swept away by all these false revivals, all this foolishness going on. Read your Bible. Study the Word of God. Ask the Spirit for guidance, and you'll see exactly what's happening. The world is being set up for Satan's deception with false signs, wonders, miracles, a one-world religion. We got to hold fast and wait on Christ, because he's going to come for us.
Amen. And, you know, I was thinking about all these people who do these revivals.
Yeah.
And we've seen the results of a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen one godly, holy saint come out of
no.
it yet.
It's all a bunch of fleshly music, foolishness, money-making,
right.
patriotism.
Yeah, all
The latest thing I saw was one of these famous false teachers, I won't even mention who his name is, I've actually rebuked to his face when we went to one of his gatherings. He's actually on stage with a man who's an Orthodox Jew singing songs to God. If you know about the Orthodox faith, they don't believe Jesus was God. He's on stage singing with an Antichrist. And all the lackey Christians all around America are all applauding it as unity. It's absolutely craziness. The delusion is here. The strong delusion is here.
I was just going to say that makes me think of the word
Excuse me.
Delusion.
Say that again.
Makes me think of the word delusion. And
2 Thessalonians 2.
I'm going to make a note for tomorrow.
Talk about that.
About something else.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right. Sounds good.
It's a question for you. I'm going to ask you from
uh-oh.
What we just talked about, a topic. I'm going to ask you tomorrow.
Are questions free all month?
Yeah, 2 for free.
2 for free. All right. All right. Well, I think that's all we have. Anything else, Sister Amin?
No.
We got to get some rest.
My note.
We're going to work online tomorrow, and then we're going to probably hook up with one of the brothers and encourage him and
See
what
our day goes.
Yep, see, maybe we'll spend some time in the marketplace tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe.
Yeah, and a brother can hang out with us.
The last time we were at the marketplace in this town, I got to witness to that one woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was nice.
Yeah, so we like going out, being in the world, rain or shine, and we're looking forward to whatever God has us do. We're just workers and servants out here, just nomads, drifting through this world, preaching the gospel, lifting up Christ crucified. Everything else is dung.
It is.
Remember that, saints.
Just
and
like
seekers,
you said,
repent.
You said to one of the brothers, you don't want to carry that bag of dung around with
yep,
you.
Yep, amen. Carrying dung around is ugly and dirty. You don't want to carry your old life or the things of the world around.
Right.
You want to lift up Christ, his word, and his ways.
Leave it and go forth for the kingdom of God.
Amen. All right, we love you all. Till we come to you again, hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah,
if the Lord wills. Hold fast, and God be praised.
Amen.